hearts like the psalmist telling our soul, bless the Lord. Thank you.
Good morning to each and every one. Glad to have everyone here this morning. I know it's a little bit small, but thank you so much for coming out, though, and making this all possible. This time, I think Anova's got something for the children. So, children, if you want to come up, and we'll turn the time over to you, Anova. Maybe we need some big children to join in or something here.
I know it's like getting nervous. You're talking to kids. So I'll sit here with you.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Okay.
Good morning. Good morning, children. Oh, hi, Lucy. Welcome. Thank you for coming up. I know there's just a few of us today, but I just had a short little lesson for you. I was thinking about children, how I know, did you know that you have a shorter attention span than I do? Did you know that? Yeah, it's really true. Like when we prepare children's lessons or when I do, I have to think, okay, the children can't listen to a long lesson. They can only hear short lessons. So I'm going to try to make this really short for you, but hopefully weighty. I was thinking about scripture. It says about, you know, Jesus that he must increase, but I must decrease. And God gave us his Holy Spirit to walk in us and to do good in us. So I had a little thing over here with the water. I was thinking that, you know, one thing that Jesus said is we need to deny ourselves and so he can come in, so there's room for him. So there's certain things that we have to do, like what if Annika you were playing and she came and grabbed a truck from you, what would you do? Would you give it to her happily, or would you say, give me that back?
Bless her.
Would you bless her? Say, here, Annika. Sure, you could have that. You can have this one too. Or would you say, I want that back? So one thing is, so here's some water. We're just going to say this water represents you. And the Holy Spirit is, you know, he's what wants to, he wants to fill your vessels. He wants to do good in you. So if you said to Annika, here, Annika, take this too. You can have my car too. Then that would be emptying some of yourself out. And then look how much more room there is for the Holy Spirit to fill your little vessel. But if you said, give me that back, Annika, you know what would happen? Your vessel would be more filled with you than with Jesus, and there'd be less room for him. So the idea is that we need to choose to do what's right so that God can fill our spirit and walk in us. Now, I want to tell you a little testimony that I did last night that wasn't good, and it doesn't fill your spirit. So we have a dog named Angel, and she's a big white dog, and she likes to jump on our bed. And she was on Nathaniel's bed last night, and you know what she does? She takes up the whole bed. She sprawls out and pushes us, and it's just, there's hardly room to sleep. So last night, Nathaniel pushed her over because she was hogging the bed. And she laid out, she went a huge yelp, and she screamed. She was like, ouch, in her own way. And I got really upset because I don't like hearing her hurt, or anybody. I wouldn't like hearing you hurt either. So I said, Nathaniel, and I yelled. And then I went in his room, and I reprimanded him for being mean to Angel, but he wasn't. He just pushed her over. But I think what happened is her claw, she has like this weird claw, and it got stuck, and it hurt her. And I tell you that, boy, I'll tell you, my vessel was like that. God was not in it. There was only a little bit of room for him, and I got so convicted, and I could hardly sleep the whole night because I felt so bad. And then I apologized.
Once I was awake for like the whole entire night.
Entire night? Were you troubled about something?
No,
did you drink some coffee? Did you eat chocolate or drink coffee?
I didn't do anything.
Okay. Well, anyways, so the point of the lesson is, so I had to apologize to my son this morning. And then Jesus was able to come in some more and fill me up. So I just wanted to encourage you guys to choose what's right and to deny that part of you that wants to say, Annika, give me back that truck. But to say, here, Annika, and you want the car also? Wouldn't that be nice? Or what about you, Annika? What if Denzel came over to you and he took your doll?
No, I don't like dolls.
Well, let's see. What do you like that she has?
I don't know.
Does she have any Legos?
No. She can't even play with them. She throws them all around and my brother eats them.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's think. What about if Annika had a big brownie? What about if Denzel? No, wait, what am I doing now? Okay. Annika. It's your turn. What if you had a big brownie in your hand and Denzel came up to you and grabbed it? What would you do? Would you say, here, Denzel, you can have it?
Have it.
Yeah. And you know what would happen? This water, yourself, would get poured out a little bit and Jesus could be in your heart more. Isn't that a blessing? So I just wanted to encourage you guys to deny yourselves and do what's right so God's Spirit can fill your little vessels. And you know what? If your vessels get filled with Jesus and His Spirit, you're going to be like a vessel like this filled with sweet, bubbly stuff, overrunning, that God is going to be able to bless you with. And then I'm going to bless you with one. And I'm going to bless you with one to remind you to always choose to do what's right so that God can bless you and fill you with His Spirit bubbling over. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Okay. Oh, Lucy, do you want one? Did you want one too? There, you can be filled with Jesus' Spirit too. Even from the womb. Okay, thank you guys. I know there's not many, but thank you for being here with us. And you be blessed. Your brother, yeah. Well, you can share with your brother.
Thanks, Anova. That's a very good lesson for all of us. Very, very good. To be more filled with the Spirit. It's very good. Thank you. Just a few announcements here. being Fifth Sunday, we do not have a lunch today. So, and then this coming Wednesday, it looks like they have a ladies' Bible study. If you do need a book, contact Jenny or Katie. The Saturday morning prayer at 7 a.m. The other thing is, not in here, but next Sunday is our first Sunday. So first Sunday, we generally have our communion. So just a reminder for that. Again, well, I guess at this time, I'm going to turn the time over to Brother Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Anava and Christy, for ministering to us like that. That was beautiful. You know, there's something just sweet and beautiful about the presence of Jesus, right? And where two or three gathered together there around Jesus, we're fulfilled. And I was fulfilled this morning, richly blessed. I wanted to share just a little bit with us, just to encourage us and to remind us. And I was reminded of Peter's words in 2 Peter 1, where he said, "Though you all know these things, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." And that's what the Holy Spirit's been doing in my heart. So I wanted to pass that on to you, and then we'll have the rest of the ministry team. Jemiah is not here today. By the way, Isaiah, their son, has been, you know, practicing a lot of golf. And I just wanted to just share this with you so that you can rejoice, because the Lord says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Well, last weekend, they had this big golf tournament thing for his age bracket in Minnesota. It was about a month ago, maybe, he won the state here in Colorado. And then they had regional in Minnesota, and he won that last weekend. Yeah, for his age group. So this week, yesterday and today, they're having something in Denver. But because he won that, he's going to Atlanta. And they're doing some kind of big playoff there. So Augusta National. Yeah. And so he's among the top of the nation in his bracket of this kind of golf thing that he's doing. So I know he'd probably be embarrassed if I'd share that in front of him, so I thought I'd share it when he's not here. So anyway, what I wanted to just share with you is some of to me, exciting and blessing things that the Lord is doing among us. And even though you know, physically we miss the Hersheys and the Stolzfuses and the Schroeders and those who the Lord has called elsewhere, the Lord spiritually is doing a work among us. And I believe that will transform into first spiritual growth, and then the Lord will multiply it into other people's lives. I believe that's what the Lord's doing with us. And so I'm excited and I'm blessed, and I want to share that blessing with you. The Lord has been reminding me what it means to minister and serve. And he gave me three primary things, showing me from his word again that this is the way. This is the way of Jesus. I've been listening to a brother from Southern California. He was a pastor for over 20 years up in Portland, and now he's taken on more of a teaching ministry. His name is John Mark Comer, and I had never heard of him before, but when the brothers were here from Tennessee through the youth retreat, Brother Irvin Bauman told me, "You ought to listen to this guy. He's really been blessing me." Some of you may have heard, Caleb used to have him give an encouraging word of the day, Luis Palau. Have you heard of him? So he's now with the Lord. He passed away, I think, last year. John Mark Comer's father was the worship leader for Luis Palau for many, many, many years, his growing up years. So that gives you some identity, right? So now this man is, I think, in his 40s. And he's felt a strong urge to look a fresh way at Jesus, primarily Jesus' teachings and life. And he's put together a teaching called Practicing the Way. And it's been inspiring me in a fresh, like Hebrews 10 says, in a new and living way. Just to encourage me. So if you want to be encouraged, you can find his teachings on YouTube. You can order his Practicing the Way. He has a study thing that his team put together of things that Jesus taught and did. And when we listen to those, see them in Scripture, and then do them. What did Jesus say we're going to be like in Matthew chapter 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount? What will you be like if you hear him and do them, the things he teaches?
Building your house upon a rock.
Yep, a wise person. That's what you'll be. It'll bring wisdom to our life. It's been doing that in my life. I'll just give you one, kind of going on a rabbit trail, but this one's important. Jesus taught and lived in a place of rest. I thought of you, Mervyn, how you testified some Sundays ago, how the Lord is bringing you to a place of rest. And the Lord wants us to come to a place of rest. And Jesus said, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Because what we tend to do when we look see a principle like this in Jesus' life, we tend to make it a law, right? A law of sin and death. If I do it, be a blessing. If I don't, I'll be cursed. But Romans 8 is very clear. Romans 8, verse 2. The Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has delivered me from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus delivers us. So though Jesus gives it to us as a way to live, it's not a law of sin and death. It's a law of blessing. And it delivers us, even if we don't perfect it. And that's why I like what John Mark Comer, how he teaches it. It's practicing. It's something we may never get fully perfect in, but we practice it. We practice it. We practice it. And it becomes a blessing to us. And that having a Sabbath in our life, both spiritually first, in our heart, brings us to a place of rest in all the things that Jesus is training us in and transforming our lives in. And if we don't find that place of rest in those spiritual things that transform our life, the things the Lord is teaching us, will become full of anxiety. And that anxiety will produce an anxious heart and will become discouraged because we'll see, Lord, I'm just not good at this. And we'll get stressed out and we think, we've got to do better. We've got to do better. And it produces an anxious heart. And that anxiety leads to sin. In fact, anxiety itself is sin to us. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious. Was that a command or a suggestion?
It was a command.
So when I'm anxious, I'm foolish, right? I'm not the wise person. He that hears my sayings and does them is wise. So when I let my heart become anxious, even about what I think God is trying to teach me and my failure in that, I'm foolish. I'm seeing the command of Jesus, but I'm not doing it. I'm not having a heart of rest. That one, the Lord's been working in my heart. And also in physical ways of actually taking a Sabbath from things. From food at times, where we fast intentionally. We give ourselves a Sabbath, maybe from dessert, or you give yourself a Sabbath from things you enjoy. One of the most instructive Old Testament words on the Sabbath that reveal God's heart to us, to me, is Isaiah chapter 58. Have you read that? The Lord says, this is the Sabbath that I want. And it was very different from the Sabbath Israel was keeping. I'll let you go back and read it. Israel was doing all these outward things as their Sabbath, but the Lord said, I'm not in it. This is a Sabbath I want for you to experience. And he said, if you experience that Sabbath, your light will break forth like the morning sun. And my life will be in you, and I will be honored and exalted. It's a wonderful word, Isaiah 58. Anyway, there's the end of the rabbit trail. So the Lord has been sharing with me three things of what it is to minister to his people. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter gives us a very clear instruction on ministry. And he's speaking specifically to elders. And by the way, in our culture, we're not accustomed to elders unless you're a Mormon. But we're not Mormons. And so I think I need to explain a bit what elders was in the Hebrew culture, in the Christian church at this point. The Lord established elders in Israel who helped Moses serve Israel. And each tribe had elders in their tribe that were there to help the people, to give them counsel, to give them guidance, to judge the situations between each other. And later on, as Israel went into the land of Canaan, the elders would sit at the gates of the city. And that's why Proverbs 31 says, the virtuous woman, her husband is one of the ones who sits at the gate to minister the word of life, to give counsel to people. And so in the church, a brother who is called an elder, Peter says this to him. This is his primary responsibility. 1 Peter chapter 5. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. That means you're overseeing, you're watching over. Not under compulsion. There is no compulsion in serving in the body of Christ. There should never be any compulsion. And yet, I've seen in my own life, and it's so prevalent within the church, that there's a lot of compulsion when it comes to serving in the church. And we as pastoring overseers can easily kind of begin to put pressure because we need someone to have the children's lesson. We need someone to do the music. We need someone to do the work. And so we begin to put pressure on people. And if you ever feel that from me or any of us ministering brethren, don't do it. Don't do it. That would be sin. Be disobedience to God's word. Don't do anything out of compulsion. Now, we can encourage each other. We can, you know, exhort one another and encourage one another and say, I think you may have a gift, brother, in this. You should think about it. Pray about it. But don't ever do anything in your serving Christ or his church from compulsion, feeling pressure from someone else. Henry. Good. Good question. What does compulsion mean? What do you think it means?
To do something in haste?
In haste? Maybe.
Pressure.
Okay. Drawn to something. Okay.
King James says not by constraints.
Not by constraints. Okay. What do you think it means, Henry?
I don't know. I
don't know.
Like an obligation?
Obligation?
Feeling like you're forced to?
Yeah.
The way I view, and I don't know what the English, let's just look it up. Let's take a moment and see what the dictionary says or Google says about compulsion, shall we? The action or state of forcing or being forced to do something, constraint. The payment was made under compulsion. And that's number one. Secondly, an irresistible urge to behave in a certain way, especially against one's conscious wishes. He felt a compulsion to babble on about what happened. It's pressure, right? Think about it this way. If you do something because you feel pressured to do it from someone else, who are you serving? Them. You're not serving Christ anymore. And that's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, he says, in relation to this, if you become another man's servant, you are not the bondservant of Christ. You cannot serve two masters. And what it does is it changes your allegiance to Christ to men. And the most damaging effect on you and on the people you're serving from that, the way I see it, is it's unrewarded effort. That means the Holy Spirit will not reward you or those whom you're serving. He won't say amen to it because it's not coming from Him. So you're doing it on your own. And Jesus said, whatever we do for the praise of men, you have your reward in full when men speak well of you. In Matthew, on the Sermon on the Mount. But He said, if you do it to the Lord in secret, both in prayer and in fasting and in sharing, you have a reward from your Heavenly Father. So that to me is very, very important. Not under compulsion. But voluntarily, well, there's the opposite. One isn't voluntarily. So we're to exercise and serve one another voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, not for money, but with eagerness. And the only way I can serve with eagerness is if I'm doing it for Christ. And Christ is regularly rewarding me by saying, job well done, son. I love you. Just like I do to my sons when they do something well and it pleases me well, I bless them. You get the blessing of your Heavenly Father over it. Nor yet, verse 3, as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And so, we're not to lord over God's people because in 2 Corinthians, Paul again says to them, we're not lords of your faith. You have one Lord. Who is He? Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said, you have one Lord. What's His name? Jesus. You have, don't call any man your father. You have one Father, God. You're all brethren. And so, how are we to, what is the number one way we are to minister and serve each other? We're to encourage one another. We're to oversee each other. As an elder, my number one, the first one is being an example. Example. You see a truth? Our impulsive thing is teach it. But Jesus' way is live it. Live it first, then speak it. That's how the Lord is bringing it to my heart. And I'm not always perfect in this. Remember, I'm practicing this truth. And I'm imperfect in it. But this is, again, how I heard the Lord speak it to my heart. And I want to encourage all of us, as you see us as brethren minister, look for the example. Because in Hebrews chapter 13, He shares this with us. The Hebrew writer, and most people think it was Paul, but there's some scholars who think differently. Whoever he was, the Holy Spirit is speaking it to us in verse 7 of Hebrews 13. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember those who led you. How do they lead you? They speak the word of God, but greater than that, they give you an example to follow. It doesn't mean you share all their convictions. Now you have to dress like they dress. You have to work the work they do. You have to, you know, all become shed builders, or you all have to become, you know, engineers or window cleaners. No, it's saying imitate their faith. The faith they exercise toward God, the way they follow Jesus, follow that. If you don't see them following Jesus, don't follow that. And that's why Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, follow me as I follow Christ. Big caveat. Even Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle who gave us most of the scriptures, only said it like that. Follow me as you see me following Christ. And we can say that as parents to our children and as leading brothers, elders in the church. We can invite people to say, follow me as I follow Christ. That is giving leadership. First of all, being an example. Secondly, the Hebrew writer here says, by speaking the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, just the chapter before this, Peter ends his word like this. In verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, each one, that's every one of us, employ it in serving one another. So if you feel like, I got a gift from the Lord, what shall I do with this? Serve others as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Says the Holy Spirit, amen. Let it be like this. And that's my heart. And I just share this with you to encourage you. Let's do this. Let's serve one another this way. And I believe that Christ will have all, he will be the Lord. All the dominion and the glory and the praise will be to him. And that's why Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 also, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gives the increase, both the spiritual increase of the life of Christ in me and who adds people to the church. So I just want to share that to encourage you. I believe that Jesus is doing something really wonderful among us. He's in me. He's saying, as I'm leading these other people away, it's my opportunity to do some deep work of love, to perfect your love for each other, to establish this kind of leadership of example, speaking the word of Christ to each other, sharing the word of God to each other. And the third one is prayer. Intercessory prayer. You see this all through Jesus' life and all through the apostles' lives. Those were the things they devoted themselves to. That's why in Colossians 4, verse 1, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. Doesn't just mean pray here on a Saturday morning, although you're invited into that. any one of you, all of you, at any time, we're invited to pray together. I'm talking about prayer in your heart. The prayer of the heart. That as you lay on your bed, or you get up in the morning, if you spend a certain amount of time with Jesus, or if you walk through your day and you have this care on your heart for someone else, and you're just lifting them up before the Lord. And along with that prayer comes sacrifice of prayer. That means a fasting and prayer that go together. And you see this especially, you see it in Jesus, you see it in the apostles, and you see this care being lived out in throughout the church, throughout the ages of the church until this generation, is that the Holy Spirit led his people to a life of praying, intercessory prayer for each other, and along with that intercessory prayer came fasting. Maybe fasting from dessert, or Daniel did that for 3 weeks. You can read in Daniel chapter 12 where he said, I didn't eat any pleasant food for 3 weeks. And after that, the Lord broke through and gave him this amazing revelation of the end times. So the Lord leads us in different ways in that, individually, but also together. And I want to invite you into that. As we're here at this time of the church, there's two ways we can approach it where we are in our journey with Christ as a church right now. You can look at it and say, oh, what's happening? And kind of feel discouraged and think, why aren't more people coming? And why are the people leaving that we loved? And what's going on? And Lord, what are you doing? And you can become anxious in your heart, or you can become fearful, or you can become full of questions and doubt. Or you can do it this way. You can say, Lord, I'm going to seek your face. I want to be an example of the believers. I want to share your word. And you can come in prayer and fasting to the Lord. And let this be a time when the Lord does that deep spiritual work in us that then he wants to share in an overflowing way with our community and with others. I am going to do that. And I want to invite you into that. Follow me as I follow Christ. I want to invite you today to be imitators of that faith. That's where the Lord is leading me. And I believe he's leading us together. So in sharing that, I want to just invite the ministry team, even though it's mostly those of us, and Jemiah is missing. But we have some new thing that I believe that the Lord is doing and adding to us, and that is that we're making a few changes. We felt that the Lord, this has been going on for a few months as we've been praying and sharing together as a ministry team in our hearts, but especially now that the Lord is also in wanting to do a new spiritual thing, he's also giving us a kind of a fresh vision, I'm going to call it, a renewal of vision for us as a church. And going forward, because I believe that the Lord is going to use us as a church to be an effective ministry of the gospel in this city and in northern Colorado and around the world. And so he's preparing us for that ministry. And he's equipping us as a church. He's equipping us for the work. And so just like he did with those up in the 120 in the upper room, when he poured out his Holy Spirit there, he took those 120 people and he equipped them for the 3,000 souls that were going to be added that day and the 7,000 the next week and around the world. And even though the timeline is up to God, he adds, the Lord is preparing us. So I felt in my heart for quite a while already that the Lord wants to develop this in our lives as a ministry team where I've asked Brother Christopher to join our ministry team. I've noticed in Christopher and Anava, for a long time now, Katie and I have known them for over 20 years. And I've always seen this in them, a heart, what I would call a pastoral heart. Have you experienced that from them? Just a caring, shepherding heart. They've done it to many souls in their community. They have faithfully done it in their home. And since they've been here among the church here in this community, I've seen the Lord develop that in them for us. And so I've invited them to be a part of this. And what we're going to, what we're feeling the Lord leading us to do is that Eli and Christy and Christopher and Anava and Katie and I will be your pastoral team. Essentially, our sisters are part of our life, but the leadership comes from us men. And the three of us will begin to work together as a unit. Not me as a sole pastor, but the three of us as a pastoral team. And yes, I'll continue to lead out administratively. Brother Eli will take on, lead out in a more on the youth side of things, and we'll see how that develops. And Christopher, I think I'm excited to see how the Lord leads him and develops his giftings among us. But I do see this very clearly. He ministers in a pastoral way that I don't. It just flows out of you, brother. Last Sunday, he went over to see Angel and Deanna and spent time with them. And I see him do that regularly. So I don't know how the Lord will develop that, but I'm excited to see him do that. The other brothers who are ministering, a part of our ministering team, Dad and Dave and Jemiah and Merv, are operating more under the practical sense of the church as deacons, taking care of the finances, treasury, secretary. Dad takes care of the groundwork, but also in that more practical caring of meeting the needs of both the community and the church as we grow. And I really believe that the Lord is preparing us together as a church with this elders and deacons, as the scripture calls it. I call it kind of the ministry team. And the reason I call it that is because we're called to serve. That's what it is. And Jesus made that real clear in Luke 21. He said, you're not lords over each other, again using that word, but he said, you're called to serve one another. And that's our heart, is to serve you, to serve this community and serve everyone whom the Lord leads us to serve, and as the Lord develops the church. The other one more thing I wanted to share with you is I'm excited for what the Lord's going to do with our praise and worship team. You know, the Hersheys have been doing that pretty regularly, and we miss them. But I believe the Lord is going to rebuild that in a beautiful way, and I think he is already. Christy, that was beautiful this morning. Weren't you blessed? I was so blessed. And Dave, when you lead in your way and Jemiah puts up the songs and the music, I'm blessed by that too. But I do believe there is talent and skill and maybe undeveloped or that can still be practiced and developed. And I'm up for that. Are you? So I wanted to share one thing with you that I felt like the Lord wants us to do, and that is to begin to do some practice together as a church. I believe that praise time should be a comprehensive worship time. What does worship look like in your life? Is it just singing? No. I see worship in a fourfold kind of way. And that is, one is praise, but it's also in hearing his word. It's hearing the word of Christ come into my heart, speaking it into my conscience. And that is what praise is. But praise is kind of us blessing God. But then we need God to speak into us, to bless us with his word. Praise, hearing his word, sharing testimonies of his faithfulness. They were saved by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's a part of worship. And fellowship. That testimony and prayer time is fellowship. We're together at the throne of grace. And so I would love to see the Lord do develop that among us, where our praise time is a comprehensive worship experience where there's prayer offered for each other, there's praise sung to the Lord, there's the reading of the word when the Lord gives someone an inspirational word where we hear the word of Christ, and there is fellowship, this testimony and prayer time. And so I want to try something next Sunday, since it's our communion Sunday and we often have the reading of the word and some time for testimony. I felt like the Lord wanted me to lead you into kind of a new experience like we hadn't had before. And that is where we kind of mix it all together. And we'll be inviting a few others to sing and share together and having a time of praise. Come with a word. If the Lord gives you a blessing that week and you get strengthened and encouraged from a word that you read, come share it. And in the middle of that, we'll have the breaking of bread and the communion time. We'll just have what I would call a comprehensive worship service. And I believe that there's some talent among us, our young people. I'm just going to suggest this to you and whoever's going to listen to this week or online, that I was very blessed when the Norwegian brothers were here and Tormod led us with the keyboard with five young girls up here. Didn't that bless you? And when those young people just sang from their hearts, there was something, I don't know, I felt like I could join them. It was not quite that way when it's just one or two people up here. And so I thought it'd be really cool if our young people would do a little bit of a choir for us. Amen. Sing some songs for us. And you might say, I can't sing. Well, I seen you at the youth retreat. You were all up here. And I don't know how much you sang. But I know there's some of you that can sing. And I thought, it would be really cool to just have you guys sing a few songs next Sunday. Mervyn plays the guitar. I do know that. And maybe he could lead you in a couple songs. And the rest of you could join him. And you can talk about this, Mervyn, this week with Pat and Anessa and Abigail and Nathaniel and Lucas and Michael and Jaya and Isaiah are here next Sunday. And you can just stand up here and lead us in a few songs. Think about it, okay? Not compulsion. Just putting it out there as an encouragement. And we'll see where the Lord develops that. At this time, I'm going to ask all of you ministry team brothers to come up. And I'm going to give the time to begin first to give it to Brother Lee. Maybe you can grab a chair over there, guys, and we can just sit down. Lee is going to share with us kind of the vision that the Lord is giving him. Do you want this? With leading out with the young people, and then I'll give a time for Brother Christopher to share with you his heart as well.
Not sure if you noticed that he didn't mention me about singing, right? I'm a little bit offended, actually. Because during the youth retreat, they made me sing, believe it or not. I think they all had nightmares that night. I'm almost positive. Say what?
Is there a video?
I think there is a video, actually, somewhere. But it's classified. It's classified. So Phil just shared a sermon. I'm going to share another sermon. Just kidding. No, we've been praying about this. You know, we've been talking about just this new changes, I'm going to call it. And we have this desire, I guess, or from the Lord, I'm gonna say it, that the Lord will raise, you know, among us people that will be the worship, I'm gonna call it worship leaders, or the one that will, you know, help all of us to worship the Lord in singing. Definitely not me, but you know, if that's in your heart, pray about it. You know, maybe God wants to use or develop some skills in you that you don't even know that you have. So just a thought. So I would like to share specifically about the youth, because, well, now that the Hershey's, the Lord called them to Thailand to eat amazing food over there, we've been praying about this. We actually been praying about what should we do with this? Should we continue, you know, meeting with the youth, or should we let it go, or whatever? So what you're about to hear now is, it's gonna sound very different from what we've seen lately with the youth. And by different, I don't mean better or wrong. So because this is what we do usually, right? We hear something and we try to compare against what it was before. This is not the case. The way the Lord used Carrie and Sarita and their family to work with the youth was incredible. Maybe you don't know, but there were some meetings in which they had 30. Am I right, Patrick and Nessa? 30? Like 35? Even 40? I don't know. I don't know if that much, but 30 youth meeting in your house, that is something else. Anybody wants to take that? That is something else. The Lord, you know, just blessed them and supported their ministry in that way. And we bless them for that. And we're very thankful for that. Now, what you're going to hear now is going to sound a little bit different. Again, I just want to make sure that you understand that this is not against what they did. And we're not saying that what they did is wrong. Actually, the other way around. It was a huge blessing. And still is. To the point that I know many, many, many youth are actually planning on going to Thailand. I mean, that much impact, you know, the life of Carrie and Sarita and their boys have had in the lives of these youth. Even though some of them don't attend our church, I mean, it's still a blessing. So, as Phil mentioned, I'm going to be working, how can we say that, like leading a little bit more, taking the role of a leader with the youth. However, this is the one thing that we see in the Bible. First of all, we know that in this case, it's an obligation for the parents to lead their kids. This is actually the job of the parents, to lead their kids to the Lord. In the book of, how do you say it in English? Deuteronomy? Is that close enough? You know what book I'm talking about? In chapter 6, you can see how Moses is given the law, and he's telling them, this you need to teach to the next generation and the next generation. And he's telling the parents, you guys are in charge of teaching your kids. So this is a challenge. I know we're missing some of the youth here and some of the parents too, but this is a challenge for the parents. So this is actually your job, to lead your kids. However, we want to join you in this. We want to help you in this. We would like, and I'm gonna read, this is actually fun because it's the very last book of the Old Testament, if you want to go over there with me. The very last book, the very last chapter, and the very last verse, Malachi, thank you, Steve. If you go over there, there's a picture of Benny here. Benny, if you're seeing this, man, I have a picture of you in my Bible. I wonder how. That's awesome. We miss you, bro. So the very last chapter, chapter 4, the very last verse, it says this, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. You see, this is a desire of the Lord, to turn the father's heart to their kids and the kids to their fathers. Both their parents, of course. Now, if I were to ask, especially the older adults, if there is something that you would desire was different with your parents, what would you say? I'm almost positive that most of us would say better relationship with my parents. Don't you agree with me? I mean, some of us or some of you grew up with parents that did not know the Lord. So it was a little rougher maybe than the ones that grew up in a Christian house. I don't know. So this is the desire of our hearts, to foster that relationship between you and your kids, between you and your kids as mom and dad, between you and your kids. Why? Because that's precisely what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. Amen. He came to bring the Father to the children, and the children show the way to the Father, to strengthen that relationship. Why? Because family is the core of society. By doing this, the effect that it's going to have in their lives, I'm talking about the youth especially right now, is going to be amazing. They will remember this even when they become old. They will remember how their relationship with their parents strengthened and grew up. So that is the desire of our hearts, to foster, to make these things happen. However that looks like, by the way, we don't have a specific plan yet, right? We don't have like, oh, okay, we're going to meet on Friday at 5 and all the parents need to come. No, you parents are welcome to join us whenever we do activities or something. But what I'm trying to say is that we're praying about it. We're still praying about it. I have the idea of going camping. I don't know if how does that sound, but I think it would be really fun to go camping with all the youth. But anyways, that can be later. And of course, the church is invited. Okay, it's not like, if you are older than 25, you cannot make it. Or if you're younger than 15, you cannot make it. Which, that's another thing. We think you as parents, you know your kids the best, hopefully, right? Or at least you've seen them grow. So we want to give parents the opportunity to define when your kid, you think it's a good idea for him or for her to attend the youth meetings. Why? Because maybe we can have a 17-year-old with a brain of a 3-year-old. So you know what I'm saying? And we do have specific conversations for the youth because the world is trying to eat them. And we need to show them this is what's happening in the world. You need to be aware of it. However, I cannot give a whole, or we can't give a whole explanation about what's going on with society, about, for instance, trans and that kind of stuff, to my 6-year-old. He's going to go over his head. He's not going to get it. He's not going to understand it yet, right? But with older kids, we might need to talk about those things, or maybe they have questions about that. So we need to be able to answer in the same level, right? In a level that they can understand. So that's why I'm saying, you parents, you will define when your kid is ready to be in this kind of activities, let's say. Now,
and then you can come with them.
Exactly, of course. I mean, again, you're welcome to join, you know, activities, meetings, whatever. And I hope for the youth, if you're thinking, oh, that's going to be boring, bro, let me tell you this. Your dad and your mom used to be the coolest people around around the town. You know what I'm saying? I used to be really cool. I know you don't think that anymore of me, right? But I promise I was a really cool guy. But that passed away, okay? So guess what? One day you're going to be in our shoes. You're going to be like, oh, my goodness, I remember. I used to have a really cool haircut or whatever. Well, welcome to life, all right? Welcome to adulthood. So that happens. And if you're thinking, oh, well, does that mean that there is no more fun? No, it doesn't mean that. Of course, 100%, or not 100, yes, 100%, or maybe I should say our main goal, you know, is that relationship, our relationship with the Lord, right? That we get wisdom, understanding from the Word of God. But of course, there's going to be time for playing, for volleyball, or we can go get coffee or something, whatever. I don't know. I mean, you know, what I want you to understand is that we're going to do life together. Amen. We're going to do life together. And your parents are part of life. Of course, yes. They're important for you and you're important for them. So we just want to foster, to make, you know, is that a good word? The opportunity for these things to happen. It doesn't mean that it's going to be boring. Right? It doesn't mean that it's going to be in a certain way. We just have that in our hearts. And also, I would like to invite you, parents, and I'll ask you this question. What's the desire of your heart for your kids? What would you like them to learn, to do, to become? We want to help with that. And I have the same question for the youth, for the kids. Guys, what's in your heart? What would you like to grow in your relationship with God, with the Lord? And, you know, we are aware that some of the young people that are part of this group, we're aware that their parents are not around, right? Or that their parents maybe they don't have a communication. I don't know. It doesn't mean they're not welcome at all. Actually, it's the opposite. You know, they need the figure of adults, you know, that they're seeking for the face of the Lord. They're very welcome. We actually want to help them, and we are praying for them too. In case they're not here, you know, and you talk to them, and they hear, hey, you know, Eli is going to be working with the youth now. Some of them might say, I'm going to pass. That's fine. Like, I have to share this, really funny. During the youth retreat, I was talking to one of the young guys, and I told him, will I see you next year then? See you next year or something like that? And he's like, oh, no, I'm not coming back. I was like, why are you coming back to the youth retreat? Oh, because the Hershey's are going to be gone. And I was like, okay, I mean, I understand. I get it. But man, if we base our life on people, it's going to be bad. Yes, we are called to love one another, right? But we're not following one another. We're following the Lord. So if some of the youth decide to leave, that's okay. They are welcome anytime. You know, and we love them. We want to pray for them. And they're welcome to our activities or if we go somewhere or whatever. I don't know. I mean, everybody is welcome. So I just would like you to see what the Lord is calling us to do. We are called to serve you parents and you youth people, young people. We want to serve you this way. Does that make sense? We want to serve you this. We want to help you this way. However that looks like, we just want to show you love, you know, and grace. That because this is what we understanding from the Word of God. It's your job to lead your kids, but we want to help you lead your kids. We want to foster that, give you that opportunity. And please, you are welcome to come talk to us. You know, come talk to me or any of my brothers here, Jemiah that is not here too. And just like if you have an idea, hey, you're welcome. We're going to pray about it. It doesn't mean that we're going to do it right away. We need to, you know, pray about it, think about it, go to the Lord. Because we understand the importance of the relationship, parents with kids, kids with parents. In this society, you know what is going to happen if the Lord allows us to go in that direction? It's going to be a great testimony. Yeah. Goodness, it's really rare to see that in this society. Mm-hmm. And if you see it, it's probably a Christian family. Right? Because that's what the Lord does. He brings us together, united. And it's not about numbers, like Phil was saying. It's about Jesus bringing us together. So please, if you have any questions, you can ask a question right now or you can give your opinion later, whatever. But I will encourage you to pray about it. Think about it. I just wanted to present the strategy or the plan. That there is no plan yet, but you know what I mean? So this is the desire of our hearts. Am I missing something? Did I forget anything? No? Yeah, okay. Well, thank you all. Any questions? Are we good? Yes? Do we need to pass the...
Okay. I'll get... this is nice with just a few of us. I'll get used to standing. I'm more comfortable sitting, but, you know, in case this happens. Let's see. Well, I read a... For the first time about 25 years ago, I read in John, it says, we know we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. I was like, oh, wow. I knew something serious happened. So I say that, that's what we have in common. I look out at all of you all, and when we were singing that song, Jesus, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Like, okay, very good. Oh, sorry. Do I need to start over? Okay. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but like everyone from the heart of your hearts, I believe everyone here could say, like, was singing that, Jesus, I love you, right? That's, so that just makes us, like, that helps me because I can say that I love Jesus, right? That's like the one thing I have in my life that is, you know, the most valuable, and that's just to be real with God. And I also, you know, also to be real, I say to God, like, God, help me to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm not there yet, right? We probably all say that. We want to do that, okay? I'm just saying that because we are, you know, that makes us brothers and sisters in a very real way, in a very real way in Jesus Christ. And not it's not limited to you, us, one another, right? But, like, we can say it anywhere, go anywhere. Like, that's what makes the distinguishing factor. Someone like, this person loves Jesus, right? We might be like, we might believe some things differently, right? I might believe some things they don't believe or vice versa, you know, nuances or whatever. But still, like, that is what, you know, that's what is attractive about someone. I guess I'm saying that because, like, you know, a lot of us probably have different life experiences. You know, maybe you're, like, thinking, you know, maybe some of you think, oh, yeah, okay, that's I get that. Christopher maybe has something to offer. Some of you are maybe thinking, Phil, you know, I'm just going to trust you. no, but I think I'd love to get to know each of you more, really. You know, we'll find that for what we have in common, any, like, differences of where we come from, a life experience, or just, like, we'll find, like, what we have in common is, like, greater than anything, right? Let's see. I want to say. I wrote down a couple of things, but. Yeah, another thing is, so about you all, like, I don't know, 2 years or so we've been, maybe 3 years, 4 years, what? Okay, time's going by, right? And I'm in a place in life, and last, probably soon I started getting more gray, I really found myself, I don't know, something about, you know, later in life, wisdom is like, teach me to number my days to apply my heart to wisdom. Solomon said that. I think we all should be, you know, at that place. Let's get the most out of our lives and our Christian life, right? And that's what I want to do, you know. I know that, pretty sure Corinthians, God says, he has placed each member in the body where it's pleased him, right? And I feel that. It's like, you know, there's lots of churches, right? This is where, you know, we got other friends. We do Bible studies and things, but this is where God has been drawing us for quite a while. And when I say... It's the love. I knew, you know, Phil said we've known each other for a long time, but, you know, when Phil and Katie were reaching out to us for a while, I just knew they loved us. They weren't just wanting extra people sitting in the chairs, you know. God was putting us on their hearts. And Jesus says, by this will all people know that we're his disciples, right? And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, Jesus says, right? So if that's what we're focusing on, even a small, you know, fewer people right now, right? What does God want? He wants quality, not so impressed with quantity. Not that the quality of anything is more than anyone else other than the love of Christ, right? That's what God's. And so people will be, you know, others will be drawn to that. Others will be drawn to that. So I'm not, concur and just, like, that's one of the things I love about you. Like, yes, let's be that example. Like, some people would be kind of discouraged. Oh, no, where's our worship leaders and all this? No, we're going forward in faith. And people will be drawn to that, you know. And let's see. I never particularly thought of myself as pastor or anything, or my kids, you know, my children, my wife, you know, they might say something different, you know, because they are my flock, you know, and they would say, good, oh, good, maybe dad's got an avenue to share some of this stuff so it's not always on us, maybe, you know, or, you know, people like guys that work with me, you know, get stuck in the car with me for a while, you know. No, I'm just kidding. What I've experienced is that, and what I think is true is that the need or where there's an open heart draws out what's in us, and that's for all of us. You know, like, you know, you got, you know, every one of us. And if there's something I have, I think we all have a lot to offer. I know one of the things we all have gifts, you know. We all have gifts. And sometimes they need the avenue to be, you know, the opportunity for them to be expressed, and we might discover what's there. But one thing I know that's like a message of in my life is like I want to impart and try to stir up is that we have so much, you know. Like the first time I actually was asked to say or something here, what, you know, was on my heart was like that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? That the excellency of the glory is not of us. So I can say that it's like, you know, not anything of me, you know, whatever I have, you know, of God, you know, just of Him. It's not, you know, anything of ourselves. And to remind people of that also, and that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Jesus Christ. That means we have so much more of us in Christ than we even, there's always more, this is the word God goes, there's always more with God. The things we believe, there's always more, you know. There's always, you know, so like to keep, like keep excited and interested, you know, about like the Bible, about the Word of God, and about, you know, serving Christ. And what I love is that too. Oh, I was trying to like some things about you guys. Like so, you know, the love started with Phil and Katie and John, Esh, and people I've known, and then people I get to know, even though I don't know as deeply. I'd like to get. We should get to know each other more. Is that there's just God love God. That's what God says. He's high and holy, but He has respect unto the lowly. Right? Doesn't mean we're like, you know, walk around with sackcloth and ashes, right? But we're not thinking we're better than anyone else. You know, I'm like, I can avoid a church like that. I'm just not drawn to that at all. You know, but when we're in that place, like it's all Christ, right? And but we're and you stay humble. Like that is like that's where the blessing is. You know, and that's hey Jim. I love coming and I love seeing Jim. I love seeing, you know, some of the seniors that come, you know, some of, you know, needy, you know, like we should be drawing people that, you know, like maybe don't have other places to go, right? And that's, I love that. And I know God loves that versus, you know, it's not about, you know, I mean, it's great when, you know, I mean, Christy did a great job, and again, Dave does. You know, we could all do worship with our hearts to the Lord, and you know, and if God brings people now, it's like what you're saying, like to the worship. Hey, let's just give it all. Just give it our the sum is greater than the parts. You know, like if everyone is coming and just wants to worship God in pure heart, and it's gonna be magnified and it's beautiful and it's good, and then let God do what He will as we patiently go along with Him. Let's see. Yeah, that's. I had a thought of just today, like maybe just, you know, over time, just take a time to go around, like, yeah, we'll reach out and like find a time we can come visit every person, like on a, you know, friendship way, like let's go have dinner, you know, bring us to you, and just get to know each other a little bit more. I think that'd be really good. You know, if you welcome that, and then, you know, you could let me be like considered a probationary minister or you know, ministry team. You know, if you got any, let me to earn, you know, earn your trust, respect, you know. But I you know, it, maybe that's already there because I have that with you guys. Like, I, you know, every one of you, I just, you know, to the degree I know you, you know, like there's something there, you know, there's, and it's Jesus. And, I don't know what it's gonna look like, you know, like you said, there's no real plan, you know, but I'll just try being myself, and it, I guess with if there's an acceptance of that, you know, then maybe that gives a little more freedom, but I'm willing, you know, I felt like there wasn't a I didn't want to talk about myself, but there wasn't like an application or like a job to fulfill, but it was like, you know, I wasn't even thinking anything like that, but I just trust that the Lord through Phil, you know, had that feeling like, hey, brother, you know, he wants you to step up to whatever that is, to be willing and be ready. And the Bible does say, be willing and ready. And I welcome that. It's probably something I need in my life, you know. It's probably something I need in my life because God is saying, you know, there's accountability that comes with that kind of, you know. There's accountability. Like, so having the closer with these brothers in my life, you know, get together with them with prayer. Because I like to be, I want to walk in, just be in the light about things, you know, because there's freedom there, you know. And so just having that could be really, really good. And, you know, I've thought for a long time that, and probably for all of us, like, you know, we might not even know yet, come to full fruition what God wants to do in our life as far as ministry and, you know, everything we've been doing now might be a preparation for that. And so, so I welcome that, you know. I know that God's put things in me, as in each of us, you know, and to minister to one another. And I get, I tell my wife or anyone that's, you know, wants to listen, or we're getting that kind of conversation that, you know, really church has become more about like, not, don't go there, what to like, you know, it's not like, what do you get out of it? You know, what can you, yeah, I mean, that God's, it's a body, that what, is there something we can give? And then we receive out of that. So it's a mutual thing. And I receive the most, yeah, I love sitting hearing the word, but just the unspoken, the mystery that goes on like in the body, you know, of like a body. He likens the body, Christ, to a body. There's a lot going on. It's all interconnected in ways we don't even understand. And that, you know, this isn't the wisdom of God that says the parts that seem less unnecessary or less noticeable are the more needful. So, sorry. No, I mean, the pastor, you know, the preachers are there, and they get all the attention, right? But maybe their parts is to you know, it is. It's for all the rest of the body. And but we're all equal, and everything's equal, and everything is all, you know, symbiotic. All right, it's lunchtime. Okay. Oh, no, it's not lunchtime, is it? We're not having lunch today. I don't. Okay, let's see.
That was an introduction, by the way.
Yeah, there's just one more thing I had written here. You know, because each of us has certain things that, like, words from God that just stand out to us, you know, that stand out to us. And that's probably something that God wants us to, you know, to minister to others. And this one comes back, and I won't say a whole lot, but it comes up so much in my life. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So let that be encouragement just to, well, you know, we spend a lot of our life delighting ourselves in the Lord, being content with be content with, you know, material things, absolutely our place in life. But there's always this longing for more with God. But I guess the part I was getting at that is that there's a place where sometimes it's hard for us to, it's been hard for me anyway, to get to where it's like sometimes that those two things got to meet, like the rubber meets the road, where like, oh, you spend so much time like our heart and the desires of our heart, we kind of like, you know, deny them. And there is that part, right? The heart's deceitful, you know, and you got to deny your own self. But then there comes a place, I mean, it's got to be, you know, that there's certain desires, certain things that God's putting, because he's put them in your heart, and he wants to fulfill them, and that God wants us to mature in that, and to rejoice in that, and be free in that, and come to, if there's things that, you know, vision, things in your life, higher than what we would think on our own, because that's one way you really know it's from God, too. It's more than you know, just not coming from yourself, but, you know, I'll end with that, just, there's desires that come in your, that, and visions and thoughts and things that come in your heart that just keep coming back that God wants to fulfill. He does, and delight yourself in him, and he does want to do that. And bless you all. Look forward to continue to grow with you all. Okay. Any questions? Okay. All right. Yes, please.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you.
Dad, do you have anything you want to share?
Yeah, I remember years ago with Christopher, this is way back in the Hope days that hardly any of you remember, but a few of us here do. And we were discussing some things that we didn't want in the church or the ministry team was, and it was a debate and back and forth, and it wasn't very nice. And Christopher, he popped up, well, isn't the main thing to love one another? Remember that? To love one another. Yeah, and I thought about it too right away. It seemed like when you bring the law in, the love leaves. That was sort of what's happening there. But anyhow, for me, one thing. Yeah, I'm excited about what Lee said about the young people and even Bible school. But this is what I heard, that the Hersheys were planning on being here next Bible school. So hopefully that'll take place. They're planning on being here. But anyhow, for me, you know, it's been a little over 8 months since my wife passed away. And I think I need to get past the grieving part and do a little more. You know, I've been traveling quite a bit with her the last couple of years. We've been Florida, weren't always here, been Scottsdale, probably almost half the time. So now I'm here, and hopefully I can get more done for the Lord. And I'm excited to be a deacon here. Not just mow the yard, but do whatever I could do for you guys or the community. So if you need something, don't hesitate to call me, and I'd be glad to help. So anyhow, as a deacon, I'd like to fulfill that part in deacon's role in the church. If you have any questions or anything, feel free. Yeah. Okay.
I don't really have too much to share, but I just it is an honor to be part of this fellowship, and I just want to welcome you, Christopher, to the team here as well. I do see I love your all's testimony along with your family and your wife. Just your passion and your love for Christ and for people. And so I do see a lot of value bringing to the team here and to our fellowship. It's been a tremendous blessing. And like they've already said to you, I just want to open up my life. And, you know, if there's in any particular way that me, myself personally, along with the team, that we can be a better way to serve. That's what we're here for. It's not of ourselves, but it's as a body of Christ. And just thank God for this opportunity.
I'm glad to be part of the church here and to be part of the team. I appreciate each one on the ministry team, and it's good to have you, Christopher. It's just amazing how God leads us, and sometimes we separate in life, and it's been that way with us with some of the people here. We've been together, we've separated, we're back together again, and it's just amazing how God leads us. I agree with each one. We're just here to serve, and whatever we can do to help, please let us know. And appreciate each and every one of you.
Amen. Well, that's all I have. I just want to thank each one of you, brothers. It's a joy to serve the Lord together and with all of you. And I look forward to what the Lord Jesus has in store for us. I think of the words that the Holy Spirit said to the church at Corinth. Your eye hasn't seen, your ear has not heard all of the good things the Lord has in store for those who love him. But
He reveals them to us through His Holy Spirit, puts them into our heart, and He leads us into that experience, and I believe He will. Okay, let's all rise to our feet, and we'll have a dismissal prayer. And I do also want to just echo what they said. As the Lord develops His life in us, we invite all of you to participate in this. We're in this together and as a family of God. So always feel free to come to us with your suggestions, your ideas, your prayer requests, your needs, and we'll come to the Lord together. Father, we thank You. I want to thank You, Father, for Your special loving care over us and that You have planted this church in this community. Each one of us are the planting of the Lord, that You may be glorified. And as You call us to discipleship and then to be fishers of men, I pray that You would multiply the life that You put within us in others. Oh Lord, only You can lead us into others' lives with the wonderful word You've entrusted to us. And I pray that You would live that out and flow through us rivers of living water. We live in a community, in a world where many are dying, spiritually dying, and are lost. And I pray that You would help us to live out the commission of ambassadors, being ambassadors of heaven here on the earth. And You would give it life, and many souls would be converted, repent from their sins and be baptized and be saved and come to You and become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ through our lives, through this church, through the ministry of each one of our lives in our communities, to our neighbors, and to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.